I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike. Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we talking about today, Mike?
Today I thought we would talk about something that's a little bit topical with some storms and whatnot that happened. But kind of like planning and what to look out for and avoid after a natural disaster if you are trying to get back out on the trail.
Yeah.
But I say it's topical because northern, it's weird to say it, but the northern of the lower peninsula.
Right.
The northern lower peninsula had a bad ice storm probably a month or so ago now. And
yeah.
Just devastated the area, and I'm sure there's a lot of trail closers. We were gonna go hiking up that area, started planning, and then we remembered that, and we're like, "Yeah, let's plan somewhere else, just so we don't run into some horrific." Certainly, you know, and campsites might not be available and things like that. So,
well, and that's the funny thing. Like when I mean, it's not funny. None of it's funny, but like when those storms first happened, I remember seeing reports from like the DNR and some of the other land management agencies up there saying things like the trails will be closed all summer. And I remember you and I kind of having a talk about it, like they don't really mean that. Like they can't really mean that it's going to be all summer. Like it's, you know, it was mid-April at the time probably. And we're like, it'll be fine. Well, then I happened to have a chance to go up to that general area for a work-related thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really made me think, like, okay, these trails probably are closed. We should probably stay away because it is. I mean, it is bad up there. It was like one of the worst ice storms that Michigan has seen.
Yeah, if you haven't seen any of the videos or anything, just go to YouTube or Google Northern Michigan Ice Storm 2025, and you'll just see and hear videos of these trees, like fully grown trees, just snapping in half from the weight of this ice.
Snapping in half, like power was out for something like 2 weeks in some areas, I think even longer in some spots.
I think some areas are still without, or did they get everybody back?
Man, you know, I don't even know, but it was like, you know, it's been almost a month now. 95%,
yeah.
Yeah, but
it was bad.
So all of that got Mike and I thinking, let's do an episode specific to natural disaster type things to think about. Basically, when the trails do open back up, even when they open, it doesn't necessarily mean like they're fully back to normal.
Right. Yeah. Not back to normal. There still could be some closures, but they've got a route open, per se. So you just want to kind of do your due diligence and look to see if it's something you can still safely do.
Yeah, still safely do, and then things to watch out for, even if it is quote-unquote safe to go back there, the landscape has probably changed a little bit. So there are still potential dangers to keep an eye out for, even when the trail comes back open. Or, I mean, there's always a chance, too, that maybe the trail didn't completely close, but there's been, you know, is it flooding? Is it fire? Is it, you know, any number of things in that area that potentially could have changed aspects of the trail to make it a little bit more dangerous? And what should you be looking out for? So let's talk about like the all encompassing of all that stuff.
Well, right. Yeah. And also wildlife could be displaced and either a little bit angrier or I can't think of the word. I'm like skittish. Like something like that, and you're approaching on this trail, and they're probably used to people being on that trail just because it's a man-made trail and it's obviously tamped down for a reason. But if they're displaced and they're rebuilding a den or whatever, then they could be a little bit more aggressive.
For sure. So yeah, so let's kind of get into it. So what I have in my notes are like things that we're talking about today could be caused by basically four different categories of things. So we're kind of talking about we've already said natural disasters, but when we're talking about that, we're really talking about like ice storms, potential destructive winds, fire potentially, or flooding. Like or those flooding. Are like the categories that will like really impact the way the trail is as far as a safety and stability standpoint go.
Yeah, earth, wind, fire, and air.
Yeah, earth, wind, fire, and air. Yes, just like the airbender.
Well, I guess wind is air, but earth, wind, fire. What's the other one?
Water. Water.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've mentioned in other episodes, but like one of the first things that I am going to recommend on this episode once again, if there has been a storm or some sort of weather-related event, one of the things you're going to want to check before you go to the best of your ability is check and see if the trails are closed. I mean, we've talked about that in multiple episodes about doing your research and checking, you know, websites or Facebook or all the things. Like, find out to the best of your ability, are these trails even open?
Right.
If they're not, don't go on them.
Like, right.
It should go without saying, but if they're closed, they are closed for a reason, typically. It's not just somebody trying to ruin your fun.
Right. It's closed for a reason. They deemed it not safe or impassable, like, type of thing. That's for your safety, not for your not displeasure, you know?
Right. Right. I mean, I would say Mike and I are, like regular human beings, curious or want to go look and want to go, you know, especially when you hear there's damage to maybe a trail that you really like. Like, yeah, you want to go see. Like, I want to go look at it and see what it looks like. And, well, I'll just sneak in real quick and take a peek, or nobody's even going to know if I'm there because it's out in the backcountry anyway, and I'm only the only person that's ever on this trail. Officially, Mike and I are saying if it is closed, don't go. Like, pay attention to plans. Those closures.
Yeah, I hate plans getting canceled or changed or anything just as much as the next guy. But you got to do your due diligence. And you don't have to cancel your plans. You just need to modify them to say, we're not going to go on that trail. Let's go find a trail that's not in the disaster zone. Like, let's go somewhere else. We can still go hiking. We can still go backpacking. We just have to find a different location.
Well, and you being there, we'll get into this maybe a little bit more in a little bit, but like there could be people out there trying to clean up the trails while you're out there. And then you're literally just getting in the way if you're not there to help. Or, you know, like you could be causing more damage or causing safety risks or all the things, you know, like, so just pay attention.
Yeah.
Adhere to the closures.
Yeah,
if it's closed.
Every state probably has like their own DNR website that has updates on trails or information on certain areas. We mentioned the North Country Trail quite a bit. There, I know there's the website for that. Check that out. See if there's trail closures there. Or Facebook, like, you know, look at your hiking Facebook groups, or Instagram, you know, whatever your social media platform of choice is. I'm sure there's information somewhere on a group. So yeah.
I know Facebook is for the old people. I get that. Right. But like, there is a lot of good group
old people community
stuff on there that is helpful, especially related to hiking and backpacking. A lot of good trail information on there. So, I mean, I don't like Mark Zuckerberg as much as the next guy, but there's a lot of good stuff on Facebook specifically for hiking and backpacking.
You can't avoid all of the billionaires.
But yeah, I mean, and then who's deciding that it's closed? It's realistically whoever is in charge of that land. Like we've talked before, you know, is it your DNR? Is it your park rangers? Is it your local county officials? Is it... like in the case of the North Country Trail, like there's people who work for that trail organization that are helping to make those determinations, relying on local volunteers and local staff, but, you know, getting feedback on the local level to determine to close those trails largely for safety and cleanup efforts.
Yeah. And some trails, like we mentioned in the past too, are on private land. So you definitely want to be mindful of that, because if somebody's land is washed out or flooded, they may not want you out there too. So.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yep.
So, and I guess, I mean, maybe this is as good a point as any. I mean, we're talking about volunteers and stuff like that, but
yeah, fair enough.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about as part of this is, if you are able, if you are in an area where a trail, whether it's your favorite trail or just your neighborhood trail, or if you are in the vicinity of some sort of backpacking or hiking official trail system that has been devastated by nature in some way, mm-hmm. storm, natural disaster, whatever that looks like, if you are able, quite often they look for volunteers to help clean up those trails. So if you have time and the ability and the skills to go lend assistance, I would strongly encourage people to do that. If you are not physically capable of helping or not close enough to help with that sort of stuff, again, because they rely on donations and volunteers and all that sort of stuff, if you are financially able to, I am certain that they would welcome donations to help with the restoration efforts and the cleanup efforts that they have going on.
For sure, yeah. They're not going to turn anybody away that's trying to volunteer and help out. If, I mean, maybe they will if they have more than enough help and they don't know where to put you. But, I mean, at least reach out and try. I mean, and if you can give $5, give $5. They're not going to turn away that money, because it's going to go towards gas for a generator, gas for a chainsaw. It's going to go food for the volunteers. Like, so, and it'll go towards something. So
it'll go towards something. And then, I mean, and we haven't quite gotten to this part yet, but like, there's bridges or boardwalks or other things like that out on the trail that potentially could have been damaged or washed away, yep. or any of those things. Like, they might need to rebuild some of that sort of stuff. Yep. Or we've talked quite extensively about trail markers and that sort of things, if any of that is damaged and needs replaced. Mm-hmm. You know, so cash goes a long way with stuff like that, I think.
Yeah, think about all of those tree snapping. If any of that's where the North Country Trail or any of the trails are, and they've got blazes or any kind of trail markings attached to those trees, they've got to completely go remark that trail.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that for a minute, because that's kind of one of the things on my list. So, yeah, so I mean, this conversation really started with this ice storm that we had here locally. But let's talk broader about, like, what can happen with some of those trail markers following various types of disasters. So, like you're saying, A, the trees might not be there anymore, right? Like, especially right. if the markers were on trees. Now, with this ice storm specifically, the trees were about breaking in half. And I literally mean breaking in half. So, like, halfway up the height of the tree, the top half was snapping off. So, chances are, especially with like the North Country Trail, we've talked about how it's blue blazes, right? So blue blazes typically painted onto some of these trees.
Yep.
The bottom half of the tree may or may not still be there, but let's say it is there. But now you've got all this, like, these treetops that have fallen and potentially obscured any markers that were still there.
Right.
So it's going to make navigating the trail, even if those markers are there, it's going to make navigating hard. Even assuming the trail itself has been cleared of trees.
Right, yeah, that's what I was going to say. The markers
might be hard to see.
Yeah, we've all encountered the random down tree that hasn't been cleaned up yet. You got to duck under or climb over or go around. When you're talking about almost every single tree in the forest is snapped in half, that's a lot of debris that's probably covering the trail. I mean, if they close it, there's damn good reason they closed it, so.
Yeah, well, and that kind of gets into like some of the I don't know. It probably falls under like the leave no trace type thing, but we always talk about, you know, not, you know, stick to the center of the trail, don't go around stuff, don't try to widen it. Well, if all of the trail is covered in debris and you have, if you're on the trail, if you have no choice but to go around it, right?
Right.
Then that's doing damage to nature where the you're moving the trail essentially at that point.
I mean, I understand nature is already damaged nature in a sense. I mean,
sure.
So,
okay.
But you don't need to help make more damage. Like I said earlier, the ecosystems are probably disrupted and changing too, and your extra steps out there aren't gonna help that. So
Well, or let's talk about, like, you know, what if a fire had gone through a portion of the trail, right? Like, I mean, let's face it, forest fires are a thing and wildfires are a thing. Maybe not impacting the entirety of the trail, but if you're hiking through a section that has been affected by fire, well, chances are the markers are probably gone because the trees are gone or whatever.
Or that part of the tree is burnt.
Yeah, or that part of the tree is burnt. And, you know, you kind of got to, as much as we hate to because we want to get out there to our favorite trails and stuff, you kind of got to let nature repair itself before you go out there and try to enjoy it.
You got to give it time and find a backup favorite trail temporarily.
Right. So back to the ice storm and what kind of brought this topic up. I know last episode we were talking about hammocks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. One of the things that got brought up that I don't know if you and I have ever really pointedly talked about, but our guest host on that episode, Nick, brought up Widowmakers.
Yeah.
I don't know if we covered Widowmakers in like our terminology one, but I don't think we did. Let's take a minute to talk about like what is a Widowmaker and then what is the danger with those. So my understanding of what a Widowmaker is, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is basically a dead or broken treetop or branch, generally larger sized, that is still up in the tree canopy.
Yeah. My definition was any hanging branch, because, I mean, realistically, any hanging branch is capable of falling. And so basically what that means is if you're setting up camp or even just walking along the trail, any of these broken or dead or overhanging limbs can at any point decide that it's had enough and it comes crashing down.
Right.
And widow meaning dead spouse,
right,
it's making a widow, so
yeah,
they're saying it can kill you, so you just got to watch out. Don't set your tent up under some sketchy branch that looks like it, at any point while you're sleeping it could just come down. So,
and not even, I mean, for sure when you're stationary, when you're setting up camp and, you know, setting up your tent or hammock and all that sort of stuff, for sure when you're stationary, pay extra special attention. But realistically, even when you're walking, like, you know, you get a rogue breeze coming through, and like you're saying, it is just its time. Like, this one has decided it does not want to be up there anymore, and it's coming down. Well, hopefully if you're on the move, you've got enough wherewithal to get out of the way, but heaven forbid that you set your tent up underneath that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this isn't a story about on the trail, but my wife and I were driving down the road one time. This was happened to be up north, and we're headed back to our glamping campground. But we're going down the road and just hear this loud bang on the roof of the truck, and checked it out in the morning, and it was a huge dent in the roof of our truck, and a tree branch happened to just fall on us while we were driving.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't just happen in the forest. So.
Right. So, I mean, that is something to be aware of. I think people that are new to being out in the woods probably don't actively think about that sort of stuff.
Right.
I'll be honest, I am guilty of forgetting to think about that sort of stuff from time to time. So,
how many times have you and I mentioned that we typically, we have to remind ourselves to look up and enjoy nature. We're focused on where we're setting our feet.
Yeah.
Well, you got to look up and make sure nothing's falling on you too.
You know? Right. Right. So, I mean, it's something to be conscious of and actively conscious of, not just like in the back of your head, but like actually look out for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Particularly dangerous after an ice storm.
For sure.
You know, like,
well, any kind of windstorm, realistic, anything that could potentially cause damage, like a fire could end up weakening a tree, even though it didn't completely burn down. It could weaken branches or anything like that. So really any of the natural disasters could weaken any kind of tree limb or something that's hanging up above. So,
yeah. So then let's, I guess, maybe talk about some other things to watch out for while you're on the trail. So we mentioned the Widowmakers. Yep. After, like, heavy rains or spring melt, you're going to have, like, potential for, I'm going to include it all in a term, washouts, right? So whether is that the trail that's washing out? Is that the banks of the river that the bridge is sitting on? Is it like any of those things, like that water moving can destabilize various parts of the trail?
Absolutely. Like we were talking before this, you know, just to mention the Munising Falls trail is closed right now because a man-made path, I'm not going to call it a bridge because it's not really over any kind of thing, like river or anything, but it's a path that's over where a lot of water tends to go in a wash, or not a washout, but rainfall or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Well, it just happened after a rainstorm or a snow melt or whatever, and there's a lot of water moving in, and it just completely took that man-made structure and washed it completely away. So that trail is just gone now. So they closed it. So,
and you and I, not even, I mean, there too, up near Pictured Rocks, you're along the edge of,
oh yeah,
I'm going to call it a cliff. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but I'm going to say you're along the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
Or are you walking along the edge of a high bank next to a river or something? Like some of that, it can wash out underneath the trail even.
Yeah, for sure.
So like even if it's not visible from where you're at, like underneath you could be washed out.
Yeah.
So especially after heavy rains, pay attention. Use a little bit of caution stepping onto that bridge. Use a little bit of caution walking along the edge. Kind of pay attention. Yeah. Does it look like it's washed out underneath?
It's not like Cedar Point where they do regular inspections on their rides. Like this is out in nature where somebody built that, but it's almost a set it and forget it. They put it there, and until it gets reported that it's damaged or no longer there, then they just say, "Oh, we've got a bridge out there, or we've got whatever." Yeah. They don't do routine maintenance inspections that I know of. Maybe they do. Maybe they send people out there periodically, but between those inspections, it can definitely get damaged, you know?
Right. It's a very much use at your own risk type of activity.
For sure.
You know, and I would say err on the side of safety. Like if something seems a little bit sketchy, assume it's sketchy. You know what I mean? Like don't be putting yourself into harm's way if you don't need to. If it doesn't feel right, trust your gut.
Right. Yeah. And along those same lines, I guess one thing that I had on there is too, especially like after the rain or ice storm or things like that, this time of year, the nighttime is still getting quite cold. So you could encounter icy conditions in the morning or even later at night, or muddy conditions too. So the trail could be extra slick when you're going. So definitely go slower. Make sure that you're sure footed when you, every time you put your foot down, that you're not, it's not going to slide out from underneath you.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, along with like washing out of like the actual trail and washing out of like potentially the banks of the river where maybe the bridge is attached and all that sort of stuff. I mean, there is also potential just for, I'm going to use the term ruts. So like, you know, water is going to find the path of least resistance, right? So, I mean, if you're on a hillside or whatever and you get a heavy rain, it might not be a smooth path that you're used to. It might have like areas that are washed out and maybe they're not super big, but if you're not paying attention, potential to roll your ankle if you step in that wrong, you know?
Right.
So like there's mini dangers on top of the major dangers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially around the tree roots, water will probably collect and run along a tree root that's already protruding, and it could make that extra protruding too. So you got some extra trip hazards too there.
Yeah.
So,
and then, sure. I mean, thinking about like if you're in an area that was affected by fire, the other thing that you're going to want to kind of pay attention to also is maybe you're out hiking and a storm comes through while you're out on the trail. One of the things that they say to watch out for after a fire, especially, is it has damaged all of that vegetation. that yep. vegetation is what is holding the dirt in place. So without that vegetation holding the dirt in place, you have the potential for mudslides and
yep.
I'm going to say a flash flood. That might be a little bit dramatic, but like more of like a flash flood type situation,
right?
Where, you know, you suddenly got a bunch of water coming at you because it doesn't have anything absorbing it.
Right. A land tsunami.
Yeah. So, I mean, all things, potentially dangerous things to keep in mind.
Yeah. I mean, you always want to do your due diligence and be as safe as you can on the trail anyway. These storms and disasters can definitely make it so you just have to work a little extra at that.
Yeah. And I don't want to keep harping on this too much, although maybe I kind of do, just as a, like a steward of the forest type thing. If it's closed, please pay attention that it's closed. Like, I mean, right. those trails, we want them to be there for all of us to enjoy.
Right.
I don't want anybody going out on it prematurely and making it take longer for the trail to get opened in the long run.
Right.
Mike said it. I'll repeat it. Like, we both hate changing plans. So I get it. Like, trust me, listener, I get it.
We're all guilty of going around the road closed to through traffic side.
Right.
Yes, we are. We're all guilty of going around those.
Right.
So I'm trying to be better about that and just following the damn detour. But with nature and the trail especially, do your due diligence. If it's closed, go to plan B.
Go to plan B, and I guess maybe even if the trail isn't closed, but you know that there's been nature-related events that have happened in that area, there's going to be scenarios where you don't know that it's closed until you get there, right? Or you might get out on a trail system, and maybe only a portion of the trail system is closed, but that is a portion you are planning on using.
Right.
This goes back into like your planning and stuff like that. Give yourself some buffer time in anticipation that portions might be closed, especially if you know that severe weather was in that area.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have anything else on that portion of it?
No, not really.
Okay, I was going to just kind of go into if the trail is open and could potentially bring some sketchiness like slippery conditions or icy things like that. Just some tools to kind of bring along with you that maybe you wouldn't.
Sure.
The one that came up on mine is those, as Nick said, those pesky or whatever he called the trekking poles.
Yeah.
You know, in this instance, it might not be the worst idea just to have a little extra stability. You're going a little slower and you'll just be able to push on the ground to see if it's soft underneath or missing underneath, anything like that. So you can use it for something like that. And as we mentioned in a previous episode too, like micro spikes or the yak tracks or whatever, just to help grip on the trail, to kind of use them like cleats. I mean, we always take a small saw or a multi-tool there. You don't want to be cutting down anything that's still living or standing. But if it's something that's potentially in the way of the trail and it's small enough for you to take care of quickly, then I guess. But we always take one just to help with cutting down our firewood. So
yeah, I mean, I think a saw, that is for sure. I'm gonna say almost every backpacking trip I would say take a saw on. If you're just on a day hike, I can see not taking a saw on a day hike.
True.
But if you know, if you're going to be out there a bit, you know, probably wouldn't be a bad thing to take.
Yeah. Colder conditions. I mean, we always say layer, bring water, you know, bring your waterproof stuff. I mean, plan for the weather, know what you're getting into. I mean, that's all comes into your planning. And in this case here, cell towers might be down, damaged, whatever. Bring a paper map or pre-download your maps. We mentioned that in the past too.
Yes.
Make sure you know where you're going, because again, the trail markings or the regular maps that are there might not be there anymore. So
yeah, that's a good point about, especially, you know, following a disaster or weather related event of some sort. For sure, the cell signal might be disrupted. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think that is a great point to make this is the time to bring your paper map. Like, yeah. I would really, you can rely on your downloaded ones if you want to, but I really do think, I mean, for the most part,
in paper maps, the worst thing that happens to a paper map is you accidentally lose it.
Yeah.
I mean, but,
or it gets so wet that you can't read it, but put it right. in a Ziploc or something. But, right. And this is one of those, like, do as I say and not as I do, because Mike and I are guilty of, like, trying to rely on our phones for everything.
Right,
but
right.
paper maps are a good thing. Try to take a paper map.
For sure. That's pretty much all the just the extras as far as, like, the gear that I came yeah. across as to come across. Again, that's the do your own research portion of it. Figure out what trail conditions are that you're going to be getting into and either stay away or just plan accordingly with what you got to take.
Yeah, totally. So,
I think we've pretty much covered everything that I have on my notes from my research today. Do you have anything else?
I don't have anything else. So, okay. listener, if you have anything else that yeah. you think we should have included in this episode, some safety tips, things to watch out for, volunteer type things that maybe you've participated in or can yeah, recommend sure. to our listeners, ways to get involved with maintaining or restoring trails following natural disasters, we would love to amplify any of that. So
for please, sure, or any methods of donation, like if you have a link or a good organization that you like to support, send us a link to that and we can post that on our site as well to for ways that people can donate as well and get involved.
Yeah, and you can send any of those things to us on our email, which is SeanMikeHike@gmail.com. We are on most of the major socials at SeanMikeHike, or you can always reach us directly on our website, SeanMikeHike.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And until next time, go take a hike.
Go take a hike and on an open trail.
There you go. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Thanks, we'll everybody.
Yep.